This is The Guardian.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Looking for your next great podcast? We live in unprecedented times. To make sense of it, what if you could learn from some of the most influential people on the planet? The podcast Tools and Weapons is hosted by Microsoft's Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Every week, he has a candid conversation with guests, including prime ministers and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists. The latest episode features Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though most of us know Bayer for pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science. They're putting digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre. Listen to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Madeline here. The Science Weekly team are on a 2-week break. So for the next 4 episodes, we're going to be bringing you some of our favourites of the year so far. With the nightly drama of the UK Love Island villa having wrapped up for the summer, there will be plenty of viewers who were inspired by the perfectly straight white teeth of contestants to have some of their own dentistry done. But as I learned in this episode, those considering getting their teeth done cheaply abroad, perhaps even as part of their own summer holidays, might want to think again. I hope you enjoy the episode. Love Island is back on UK screens. And after 8 series, there are certain things we've come to expect from the show. Glowing tans, sculpted abs, and of course, those dazzlingly bright, perfectly straight teeth. They've been nicknamed Turkey Teeth after one of the most popular destinations for cosmetic dental treatment. And seeing these Hollywood smiles in the villa and all over social media is making more of us consider going abroad to correct our own imperfect teeth. But how exactly do people get the Love Island look? And what happens if it goes wrong? From The Guardian, I'm Madeline Finlay, and this is Science Weekly. Paul Woodhouse, you run your own dental practice in the northeast of England, and you're also on the board of the British Dental Association. I want to start by understanding exactly how people get these Love Island smiles. What's the least invasive way to achieve it?
The least invasive way to get the cosmetic results that people want is initially be born with straight teeth and just have a little bit of whitening. The next least destructive way is to align the teeth that you've got with either conventional braces, what people call train track braces, or clear aligners, which are much more popular, and maybe some edge bonding with some little white filling materials just to straighten off any edges that are a bit roughened. After that, we go on to veneers, which are essentially false fingernails. And this is what everyone thinks they're getting when they go abroad. They're always described as veneers. A true veneer requires very little tooth preparation. In fact, these things are very, very thin, fractions of millimeters.
In that case, your teeth are still untouched underneath. And if you have the veneers taken off, your teeth underneath are still fine. They're okay.
Yeah, generally, hopefully the teeth are in a fairly good position anyway, and the veneers are just glued onto the enamel. The ideal veneer prep requires a lot of enamel left on the tooth to actually glue the veneer onto. Finally, you would go to full coverage crowns, which are thick preparations. So usually a millimeter of material at least is removed from the tooth. And then the crown is more like a helmet or a balaclava going over the tooth. So you really need a 360 degree preparation of the tooth and a height reduction of the tooth to gain enough space for the crown material. If the word crown is involved, there is going to be some reduction of tooth material.
So what I've been seeing on social media, when people are getting their teeth filed down to what look like shark teeth, a crown's being put on each tooth, which to me seems like a super extreme thing to do on every single one of your teeth, especially if they're healthy.
Yeah, so these kind of things are happening when it's the quick, fast solution with very little regard for long-term outcomes, where you need to get the teeth in a line, but you don't bother to move the teeth. You just cut the teeth back until they're all in a line. So some teeth will have 0.8 of a millimeter removed, and some teeth will have a couple of millimeters removed until the stumps all line up. And then you make crowns that fit over the top so that you present a uniform front and a uniform height pattern.
Where I live, there's new cosmetic dental clinics opening up. So what's the difference between what's on offer here and what's on offer abroad? Why would people go abroad to have this done?
The standard argument is it's cheaper abroad because it's done in a almost production line ways of manufacturing these crowns. They're not individually tailored to a smile. There is get you in the chair, numb you up, cut all your teeth down, come back a week or so later, get those crowns fitted. When you're producing quality dental work, it takes time. It takes time to prepare the teeth. It takes time to plan the case out before you even start preparing the teeth. And then it takes time for quality crowns to be manufactured.
Many of the people who travel abroad for cosmetic dental work are really happy with the results. You only have to look on YouTube and TikTok to find people showing off their smiles and talking about the newfound confidence it's given them, including former Love Islanders Ekin Su and Luca Bish.
I had a nice smile before, but now I have an even better smile. I'm so confident, all I want to do is laugh and smile all the time. So when my teeth came, I felt so emotional because they were exactly how I wanted.
I'm Luca. I've had my top 10 with Emax and my bottom 10 with Laminate. The dental centre has been absolutely amazing. It's been one of my best decisions I've ever made.
But there have also been cases of it going horribly wrong. Last year, a British Dental Association survey of 1,000 UK dentists found that 96% had examined patients who had gone abroad for treatments. And of those, 86% reported having treated cases that developed problems. So, Paul, what are some of the risks associated with these kinds of procedures?
The most common issue that we find where lots and lots of tooth material is cut down is the teeth underneath dying off, which will require either extraction or root canal therapy. But there is also very, very basic stuff like cleanup after the fit. We've seen cement between teeth. Because the teeth are generally linked crowns, there is no ability for the patient to clean between their teeth. They can't get floss through there. The shapes are wrong, so there's not an ability to get underneath the crowns with little interproximal brushes, so you end up with a much higher likelihood of gum disease, which is where you lose the bone support around the teeth. And if the bone goes, it stays gone forever. It never, ever comes back. It cannot be regrown. And if you lose the support of the teeth, those teeth will eventually fall out.
And have you seen any of these kinds of disaster cases from somebody who has gone abroad?
My favourite case for bad stories is a young 19-year-old who went out there and he had a beautiful smile. He was a good-looking young man, but he went on holiday to Turkey and he ended up with 10 linked crowns on the top and two groups of five on the bottom. He was in great amount of pain because he could only focus his bite on two teeth, so he couldn't eat properly. Because his teeth don't hit together, he can't speak properly, he can't form letters properly, he can't clean his teeth properly. There was evidence underneath three of his teeth that they were already dying off, and there was further evidence in the rest of his teeth that the ligaments were under increased strain under several teeth because of what he was doing to them. So he was looking at a massive reconstruction job. And if you're doing that at 19, 20, and you live to be 80 years old, there's not going to be anything left by the time you're in your mid-40s. And you're going to be in dentures very, very early.
To me, it seems quite shocking that anyone would even be allowed to do that kind of procedure on somebody who has already good teeth. Now, I'm interested to find out, how does the regulation for dental work in the UK compare to places like Turkey, Bulgaria and Romania? You know, those common places people go to have their dentistry done.
So in the United Kingdom, we're regulated by the General Dental Council, a body that solely exists to protect the public from bad dentistry, from cowboys, from people doing the wrong thing, people who are dangerous to see, so that the public can be assured when they see a dentist in this country who is registered, they're going to be provided a level of care. We're also similarly covered by indemnity and insurances, so that if there are problems, there is a financial redress for patients if things go badly wrong and it can't be fixed easily.
If they can't get access to reparations in the country that they've had the dentistry work done, or they don't want to have any more work done there, are people able to use the NHS in those cases?
There's not an NHS dentist in the country that would touch one of these cases. I'll speak particularly about England, so apologies to my Scottish, Welsh and Northern Irish cousins. It's based on basic services. So you are contracted to provide basic care to your patients. This is advanced care and needs to be done by people who know what they're doing. Now, most dentists can handle it with advanced training, but they're not contracted to do it on the NHS. So one, they will be in breach of contract. Two, the way dentists are remunerated, if I do 10 crowns, I would lose money. So no NHS dentist will treat them.
Which could leave people with a big financial burden. Do you think this could get worse?
Yeah, absolutely. And these are the tip of the iceberg cases, because this has only become a fairly recent phenomenon of people doing dental tourism and health tourism. Those cases that have gone really well, where people are totally happy, they could have sort of simmering problems underneath, a bit like the pin being pulled on a hand grenade. It's going to blow up. We just don't know when.
How do we begin to fix this issue?
You can educate people so much, but the trouble is, it's the instant gratification. So I've seen people who, they've come to me for consultations or colleagues for consultations, and they've been told with alignment, whitening, a bit of bonding, they can have the smile that they want, but it's going to take them 6 months. It's going to take them a year. And then they jump on a plane to Turkey, etc., and they come back 2 weeks later with the teeth they've always wanted, but everything's destroyed underneath. If people are visiting a dentist in the UK and they talk about going abroad, it's important that we as healthcare professionals explain the risks. If they still want to take those risks, that's fine. They've just got to accept the consequences. I don't think there's anything else we can really do.
Paul, I'm not going to lie. My teeth do feel kind of weird. I feel very conscious of them after this conversation, but it's been really fascinating and useful to hear. So thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks again to Paul Woodhouse. And that's it for today. This episode was produced by me, Madeline Finlay. It was sound designed by Joel Cox. And it was executive produced by Ellie Bury. We'll be back on Thursday. See you then. And don't forget to floss.
Looking for your next great podcast? We live in unprecedented times. To make sense of it, what if you could learn from some of the most influential people on the planet? The podcast Tools and Weapons is hosted by Microsoft's Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Every week, he has a candid conversation with guests, including prime ministers and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists. The latest episode features Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though most of us know Bayer for pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science. They're putting digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre. Listen to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.